Uncle Rodney's Day with Torin, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Tasney, rated Jen.
Taylor rarely snaps at people, so when she did, Rodney knew right away something was wrong. He'd just been talking about their latest mission, not really paying much attention to what he was even saying, when she'd out of nowhere raised her voice. Enough! Can you please just stop talking for once? It sounded loud and angry. Definitely unusual. Sorry? He didn't know what else to say given the uncharted territory. Sure, he definitely could be annoying at times and he knew he could try people's patience. But Taylor usually had a way of gracefully redirecting the conversation or just listening quietly. I'm sorry, Rodney. I am quite tired. She motioned toward Torin, who was currently racing around the tables of the cafeteria in his dragon costume, making high-pitched noises and pretending to fight the chairs as though they were valiant foes to be defeated in battle. With Kanan still away, it has been difficult, Taylor added. Rodney saw Taylor's unusually haggard appearance, with dark circles under her eyes. Even in some of their most dire missions, she hadn't looked so worn. He realized it had been weeks since Kanan first left on a trip, and Rodney suspected there was more to Kanan's absence. But he didn't dare ask. If he was right, Taylor would share when ready. Maybe she didn't know either, beyond hoping he might return soon. It's okay, Rodney said. Look, what if I took Torin for a while? I have a project I wanted to try with him. No, nothing dangerous, he promised when he noticed her raised eyebrow. Just something I think he'd enjoy. It won't take long. Taylor smiled and nodded. Thank you, Rodney. Yeah, well, we'll just go before I change my mind. Meet me in my quarters in about 20 minutes. This was, of course, a terrible idea. 5 years of practice with Torin and Rodney remained still mostly bad with kids. He absolutely sucked at the entire uncle role. But how could he not take over when Taylor clearly felt like a mess? Where are we going? Torin asked as he zoomed down the hall, his cape flapping behind him. My quarters. What are we doing? Is there candy? Can we play games? Can we? Sure. But first we're going to do a special project for your mom. Can I help? Yes, obviously. That didn't sound very kind. My mom says you should always be kind when talking to people. How about we play the silent game? The one where you try to get me to not talk for as long as possible? Yes. Boring! At this, Torin let out another loud, high-pitched sound before racing quickly to the end of the hall and back. The trip to Rodney's quarters couldn't have gone fast enough. Upon entry, Rodney quickly raced to the end table by his bed, grabbed the noise-canceling headphones, and put them on. At least he could get through this without completely destroying his hearing. Rodney then pulled out two boxes. The first box was labeled Emergency Torin Survival Kit, in case he ever had to watch the kid by himself. Torin leaned over the box with wide, expectant eyes. Can I have it? He asked, reaching for and grabbing the box before Rodney had a chance to say yes or no. Torin reached inside and grabbed out the Rubik's Cube and set it aside. Then he pulled out the blank paper and crayons. For me? He asked. Yes. I'm going to be working on something for your mom while you color. Can I mix up the cube? I'm really good at mixing them up. Sure, whatever. It wasn't Rodney's first time trying to introduce Torin to more intellectual pursuit. While Rodney had easily solved the cube as a young child, Torin seemed to get more joy showing how easily he could mix it up for someone else to solve.
Knowing this box of distraction could last at most 5 minutes, Rodney set to work with the other box. He opened his bathroom door to survey the scene. It was unsurprisingly a chaotic mess. He grabbed his shirts and John's uniform from the floor, throwing them into the nearest hamper.
He counted no less than 3 pairs of John's underwear thrown in random places. Somehow he'd never expected when they'd moved in together that John would be such a slob. But it wasn't like Rodney was any less so. With the floor clean and the tub quickly scrubbed, Rodney brought in the second box, carefully opening the lid. One bottle was self-labeled Rodney's Special Bubble Bath, for Rodney only, not for John. Seriously, do not touch! Experience showed the label was more than necessary. Rodney placed the bottle on the edge of the bathtub, letting out a small whimper. The bottle was nearly empty, and he hated to think of how long it might take this time to get the ingredients from the Daedalus. "It's all mixed up," Torrin called from the other room. Rodney ignored him as he pulled 6 small candles out from the box. "It's all mixed up," Torrin called again. Rodney placed each candle along the bathtub's edge. "Hello, I'm ready. Hello, Rodney. Rodney. Rodney." "What?" he asked in a voice that probably wasn't as patient as Kayla would prefer.
"It's ready,"
Torrin said, gleefully handing over the cube. Rodney quickly moved the pieces together. First the white cross on the top and then white corners. Next, he worked on the middle layer before turning the cube upside down and getting the yellow cross. Aligning the yellow corners, he then moved into the last phase, quickly reorienting the corners. He took 15 seconds from start to finish. Huh, he'd definitely gotten out of practice. Soon John would be able to beat his time if he wasn't careful.
"Can I mix it up again?" Torrin asked. "I'm so good at it."
"Sure. Go ahead." Rodney raced back to the bathroom, only for Torrin to follow him.
"What you doing?" "Oh, is that your tub? That's amazing! Can I swim in that? It's so huge!"
Rodney glanced at his watch, not answering. Just a few more minutes before Taylor would arrive. Rodney reached above the bathroom sink, pulling out one of the Athosian lighters Kayla had given him some years ago. He only managed to light one candle before Torrin grabbed for the lighter.
"Can I try?"
"Hey, not safe," Rodney snapped. He snatched his hand away. "Sorry," Torrin answered, looking abashed. Then, pouting, he added,
"You said I could help."
"Look, I tell you what. I'll teach you how to use this thing if you listen carefully and do exactly what I say. No grabbing or messing around. Got it?" Torrin eagerly nodded in agreement. This was probably also a bad idea. But one thing Rodney did love doing with Torrin was teaching him new things. The kid actually listened well and shared his mom's intelligence and patience.
"Wow!"
Torrin exclaimed as the first flame danced on a wick. Together they lit the rest, with Torrin careful to follow Rodney's lead. As the last candle was lit, Rodney's door chimed. He could always count on Taylor's punctuality. "Great. Now mix up the cube for me again while I talk to your mom, okay?" Taylor walked in, still looking every bit as worn and tired as before. 20 minutes wasn't exactly a long time, but she seemed thankful enough for the opportunity all the same. "Thank you again, Rodney."
"I'm happy to help, really," Rodney said. "Come on in."
"It's okay. I should be getting Torrin some food. You know how he gets when he is hungry, and he barely touched his lunch." "Oh, right. I can handle that, actually. I have something for you." He motioned again for her to enter, and Kayla did so, sending him a quizzical glance. Her eyes fell first on Torrin, who was happily mixing up the cube without even acknowledging her arrival. "This way," Rodney said, motioning toward the bathroom. He grabbed a clean robe from the closet, which earned him another raised eyebrow. 20 minutes wasn't really long enough, and I think you need a bigger break. So I know when I'm upset or stressed out or whatever. I like to take a bath and relax. I have this lavender stuff, which I think smells really good, and maybe you will too? It's hard to get, and it's almost empty, and I thought you'd enjoy it, so if you wanted and felt comfortable and all. Great. He was talking fast and not making much sense again. Why did he have to always babble when nervous? This is for me? Kayla asked, looking at the candles, the robe, and the bubbling, steaming hot bath. Yes. I mean, if you're okay with it, I'll take Thorin for food and you can have as long as you want, really. You could take a nap afterward. I mean, here or in your quarters. I'm sure Ronan, John, and I could handle things for a while. Probably. Oh, Rodney, this is very sweet of you. Kayla gave him a small kiss on his cheek. He noticed a single tear at the corner of her left eye, either from relief or sadness or both. Whatever else was going on with her in Canaan, it clearly weighed heavily on her heart. Right, I'll just leave you to it then. The door swept closed. Thorin looked up, handing the cube to Rodney. I mixed it up so much better this time. There's no way you can solve that. Solving the cube had long since been muscle memory. Rodney raced quickly through the steps, managing 12 seconds this time around. Not bad, but still not his best work. The world record back on Earth was now 8 seconds. At the cafeteria, Thorin scarfed down animal crackers, milk, and ice cream. It's not like Rodney had promised Taylor what he would feed Thorin, after all. Filled with sugar, Thorin needed to get out his energy, so Rodney convinced the kitchen crew to spare them some cookie dough and icing. As Rodney grabbed the cookie cutters, Thorin called, Uncle Ronan! Uncle John! Ronan and John waved back to Thorin, noticing the kid in Rodney's care. They immediately sprinted over as though sure he'd be melting in a pile of frustrated goo. Everything okay? John asked. What? I can't watch Thorin without something being wrong? Not exactly something you usually volunteer for, John answered, giving Rodney a kiss as he smirked. Taylor was getting snappy, so I made her take a bath and a nap. Huh, there's a lot to unpack in that sentence. So don't. Here, help us out. With Halloween so close, Rodney had selected the pumpkin, cat, and ghost cookie cutters. Ronan smiled the brightest as he carefully decorated his pumpkin with thin, intricate lines of frosting. Thorin just smeared a few dabs before moving to the next. John, on the other hand, snuck a taste of just as much of the frosting as made it onto his cookie. Rodney may have done the same, but he deserved it for taking on this amazing feat in the first place. By the time they were finished, they'd managed to decorate over 40 cookies, not counting however many they'd managed to eat. Filled with yet another sugar high, Thorin raced all around the tables, jumping and kicking the air with the excitement of a wild tornado. As the Thorin whirlwind rushed about, Rodney, John, and Ronan set to putting up the Halloween decorations. Even after all these years, many on Atlantis clung to the Earth holidays as a way of keeping them close to their previous homes, as well as to break through the anxiety and stress from life in Pegasus. While they decorated, Rodney grabbed Thorin a peanut butter and a Thojen jam sandwich, accidentally dropping it in the pile of powdered sugar left over from making the frosting earlier. What that? Thorin asked in disgust, scraping awkwardly at the powdered sugar on his bread. It's sugar, you know, like the sugar in the jam in the sandwich? Thorin let out a horrified sob. It looks yucky. It's sugar. No, it isn't. Thorin crossed his arms over his chest, intent on not eating the contaminated bread. Rodney rolled his eyes, grabbed the sandwich, and took a large bite. There, see? Delicious. Not poisoned. Thorin gave a series of clearly fake cries, popping his head sadly onto the table. Perhaps Ronnie realized. He'd reached his sugar limit for the day anyway. Okay, not a sandwich then. How about a game? Rodney pulled out the nearby collection of board games, which immediately got Torrin's attention. His cries ceased instantly as he eyed the games with interest. Battleship was selected despite Rodney's protestations. He settled at the table, carefully placing his ship, knowing Battleship with Torrin was unlikely to go well. The rules are relatively simple. Just call out the area you think my ship is in. I'll tell you if it's a hit, a miss, or if it's sunk. White for miss, red for hit. This is A1 because it's in row A and column 1. Got it? Torrin nodded excitedly, grabbing his pieces and placing his ship on his board. Uncle Raddick taught me already. Can I go first? He asked. Sure, go for it. C4, Torrin called. Miss. F5. Hit miss. Well, which is it? A hit or a miss? I'm not telling you. You have to. Do not. Of course you do. How could this game possibly work if we don't say hit or miss? It breaks the entire premise. Rodney, John warned while wavering haphazardly on Ronan's shoulders as he pinned a cobweb high on the wall. Sorry, Ronnie said, breathing deeply and forcing himself to be calm. All those years taking lessons from Taylor did help, at least. Look, I need to know if it's a miss or a hit. Can you please tell me? No. Oh, C4. You already called C4. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No. No. Uncle Ronan, Ronnie is being mean again. I am not. Ronan laughed, shaking his head. Just go with it. Rodney glared, but continued. Fine. Miss. C4 is still a miss. You happy? Sure it's not a hit. Clearly not. G3. Sunk! What do you mean sunk? I haven't even gotten any hits. Oh, hit then. Okay, your turn. Torrin paused for a while, looking carefully at his board and tapping his finger on his chin. At last he said, I need a hit. Really? Fine. My battleship is somewhere in F. Oh, okay. That's a big hint. You shouldn't give such big hints. How about A3? Rodney answered. A3 is a myth, through gritted teeth. Why, oh why, had he agreed to this? Kids were so obnoxious and ridiculous that it always made his brain hurt. Torrin was actually fairly smart for his age, but he was still 5. And maybe, just maybe, John was right that this game was a little old for him. Your turn. Do you want a hint? No. You sure? I could give you a good hint. It wouldn't be so big a hint like yours or anything. Just a good hint. No. Okay, here's my hint. J8. Really? Row F was too big a hint, but J8 is not. J8 is a good hint. I always give good hints. Fine. J8. Miss! It took everything Rodney had not to pull his hair out. Why did you tell me to call it then? Want me to step in? Ronan asked, lowering John to the ground. Yes, please, for the love of everything, please. Rodney noticed John's face was red from laughing so hard. Rodney glared at him with a look that promised he'd get him back later. If John was worried, he didn't show it. Rodney moved aside for Ronan to take his chair before plopping his head down on the table and sighing. Surely Taylor had to be well rested by now, right?
As if on cue, he felt her soft hand on his shoulder massaging gently. He looked up, disoriented. Most of the decorations were now up. John bounced Torin on his lap as they read a story. And Ronan was munching on a pumpkin cookie? Rodney realized he must have fallen asleep. "Thank you again for taking care of Torin," Taylor said, slipping into the chair beside him. "It was very kind of you." She smelled of lavender. The black circles under her eyes had faded a little, and her smile looked genuine. "Anytime," he smiled back at her. Somehow he mostly meant it when he said, "We had fun."